Where the economy was concerned, the Clinton administration got lucky. So says Joseph Stiglitz, chairman of President Clinton's Council of Economic Advisers and later chief economist at the World Bank. His assessment of the 90s boom years may be read in the latest issue of The Atlantic. Stiglitz says today's economic troubles can't be fully blamed on the current Bush administration, because some things that were done to stimulate the economy and keep it moving sowed the seeds for later trouble.
When the Clinton administration came into office, it inherited a difficult situation, a huge deficit. Unemployment had been over 7%, and it undertook some actions that were designed to trying to get the economy out of the recession.
Beginning with reducing the federal budget deficit.
That's right. The usual story is that the deficit allowed interest rates to come down and that stimulated the economy. That was true, but what we teach in our standard economics courses is that deficits stimulate the economy in a recession and therefore help you get out. What was so peculiar about this particular episode was that we cut the deficit and that seemed to get us out of the recession. And what I try to explain in the article is why things in that year were so different. A critical factor was that the banks had a lot of long-term government bonds. And when interest rates got lowered, those bonds increased in value, and it was a way of recapitalizing our banking system that had been fundamentally weak since the problems of the 80s.
So by lowering the deficit, you inadvertently ended up recapitalizing the banks, and that helped refuel the economy.
That's right. It was a happy accident. Otherwise, it would have been the Fed's responsibility to adjust the interest rates to whatever the deficit was to restore the economy to full employment.
And the Fed did its job in a way by not raising interest rates.
That's right. But the success was, in that sense, an inadvertent success.
You also recall the years 1993 and 1994 when it was proposed that the treatment of executive stock options be changed, and you regret that change wasn't made there.
That's right. The Financial Accounting Standards Board had proposed that change. We were very disturbed by how many other circles, Silicon Valley, Wall Street, opposed that change, which we thought would lead to better information. Prices on the stock market need good information if they're going to reflect realities. And if prices don't reflect realities, you're going to get misallocation of investment. Treasury and Congress put pressure on the Financial Accounting Standards Board to not make the change. And the result is, as they say, history.
But in the short term, it made the economy look better because it improved the company's performances.
That's right. It helped fuel the bubble. It was part of the irrational exuberance that led to this enormous seeming prosperity.
But you also had the conflict of interest that we now know was going on with accounting firms.
This is where Arthur Levitt, who was the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, really identified the problem. He said, look, if the accounting firms are making most of their money from doing consulting, what incentive do they have to provide accurate information? Arthur Levitt was right on about the importance of this conflict of interest, but again, those who benefited resisted the change, and the rest is history.
Another observation you had on the time, if there was ever a time not to push deregulation further, the 90s was it.
Well, the point is, there was already this nascent bubble in the economy. We went further in financial sector deregulation, getting rid of the Glass-Steagall that separated the commercial banks from the investment banks. We made it easier for Wall Street to fuel the bubble. Many of the problems would have occurred had we not done that. This just made it even easier for the kinds of problems that we saw occur. For instance, many of the banks continued to lend to Enron and to other firms, even after probably they should have stopped. They were making lots of money from underwriting the investments, and they just didn't want to risk losing that business by refusing to make the loans.
Now then came the tax cut.
Well, the tax cut was badly timed, because it was the tax cut in 97 was aimed at capital gains. Historically, people realize that quite often these capital gains tax cuts are only temporary. So they tried to cash out the enormous capital gains that they'd had over the few previous years, which fueled the bubble even further. It was good for the economy in the short run, but of course the bubble continued until it broke. And of course, the higher the bubble, the greater the break, and the worse the economy is in the aftermath.
So what do we do now?
Well, I think the first thing is to learn the lessons of these mistakes. The bill that went through Congress to improve the responsibility of corporations, it was a major step forward. Many companies now are voluntarily going to better reporting of their stock options. I think we overall have learned a very important lesson that if American investors are to have confidence in their markets, they have to know that the information they have is reliable and that the system is not rife with conflicts of interest, special deals for a few favored people. And I think we're beginning to realize that that mantra of free markets, self-regulated markets, is something that we have to change.
Joseph Stieglitz is professor of economics and finance at Columbia University and winner of the 2001 Nobel Prize in Economics. His article appears in The Atlantic. NPR's foreign editors are Lauren Jenkins, Doug Roberts, Martha Wexler, Dee Dee Skanky, Ted Clark, Bob Duncan, Jeff Sandman, and Rina Advani. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.